Health and Agriculture Policy Project Director for the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future. And she holds an MS in Food Policy and Applied Nutrition from the Friedman School at Tufts and is a trained facilitator. And her current work focuses on bringing a health perspective to federal food and agriculture policy. She also coordinates the APHA Food and Environment Working Group. Welcome, Becca.
Thank you, Linda. I think I have a propensity for organizations or groups that have really long names. So sorry about that. So as Linda said, I work at the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, and the center focuses on food system issues, and we look at diet, we look at food environment, we look at environmental issues, and try to bring this whole systems perspective to the conversation about health. And so I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking about some of the ways that the conservation programs in the Farm Bill can support health, and I'm just going to start with sort of what are some of the health impacts of some of the ways that we produce food and how those can be mitigated with some good conservation programs. So no relationships to disclose. So, as I said, first I'll talk about sort of what is the connection between food production, conservation, and health, then what are some of the key Farm Bill programs related to conservation, and then I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk very briefly about the Food and Environment Working Group. Some of you have already heard about the group because you've been in other sessions, but also I'm just going to flag now, we're having a reception this evening at Lucky's Lounge from 6:30 to 8, so if you get really jazzed about food system issues and want to meet other APHA people who are excited about them, that's the place to be this evening. So I'm going to talk about four major topics that have to do with conservation and health, and that has to do with soil erosion, with how wetlands can help us protect communities, impacts of flooding on health, and then the importance of soil health. So in terms of this issue of erosion, it's kind of one of the biggest problems when it comes to some of our, especially industrial farming practices, but potentially all farming practices, and health. So these are just some images to give you a sense of algal blooms, or algae blooms, depending on what you want to call them. The one at the to your right is what in the Gulf of Mexico, where there have been huge dead zones from all kinds of chemicals and fertilizers running into the Mississippi River and then coming down into the Gulf of Mexico. So not only is that are the chemicals that we apply on farmland impacting the communities around those farms, but it's also impacting fisher communities and a range of people who live along coasts. So some of these impacts are from using fertilizers, industrial chemical fertilizers, is that nitrates can get into drinking water. When nitrates are in drinking water in high levels, they can cause cancer. There can be negative reproductive health outcomes. There can even be blue baby syndrome, where babies are born not able to have enough oxygen in their blood and usually don't survive. There are communities in, especially there are communities all over the country who are migrant communities, farm laborers, and it's often this intersection between those that have less of a voice who are most exposed to these chemicals in their drinking water. Pesticides also, as we all know, have negative effects, neurological effects, cancer, reproductive issues, respiratory effects, and those we know, we have a lot of science on the direct impacts on the farm workers and farmers who are applying chemical pesticides, and then there's more and more research coming out about pesticides effects on developing babies and just in the community in general. So what I'm trying to do here is paint this broad brush picture. We think, oh, farm programs, conservation programs, that's for the farmers. But if we don't really pay attention to how our food is being produced, there are actually all these impacts on health that we might just be looking at from a community health perspective, but really it's this longer chain up the system that's impacting these issues that we're trying to address at the community level. Other issues are pathogens coming from manure lagoons or other animal agriculture uses. So a lot of times large amounts of manure are sprayed over crops, and if they're sprayed at the wrong time or too much is sprayed and then it rains, you're going to get a lot of runoff, erosion, and all of that leaches into groundwater and into surface water and can bring things like E. coli, listeria, et cetera, for all these lovely food safety issues that we'd like to avoid. So part of what we want to do is protect nature's ability to filter water. And this is an image of sort of the whole water filtration basin for the Mississippi River. So look how much of the country that covers. And so again, just drawing your attention sort of from being in the community, thinking about the health impacts of agriculture and sort of how vast the impacts actually are when we start to look at these natural systems and the connection between how we farm and the impacts on those. Wetlands are also really important for carbon sequestration. So if we're thinking about climate change impacts on health, we need to maintain our wetlands in order to maintain the value that they bring us for carbon sequestration. And then wetlands also help mitigate flooding. We've all seen devastating effects of flooding. I'm not saying that Farm Bill conservation programs are going to solve all of the problems that we get when we have a major flood, but there are ways that we can add to the land's ability to hold water that comes when we get a situation where there could be flooding. And there are huge community health impacts across the board if a flood does occur. The number one health issue is drowning, but there can be injuries, chemical contamination, again, those infectious diseases that I mentioned, E. coli, hepatitis, salmonella, shigella. We would rather the water stays in its natural place and is not filled with all of these contaminants. It can leave behind mold exposures and leading to respiratory issues. And then there's also the psychological health side when your community is devastated by a flood. And it's a few years ago, 2 years ago, the huge floods from the Mississippi River, and we saw the devastation in the farming communities, and that really has lasting impacts, not only on those immediate people, but if you think about sort of how risky it can be to get into farming, and if we want to revitalize our rural communities, we need to let these younger farmers who are coming into thinking about joining this field to really feel like, okay, there's going to be a community still standing, there are going to be ways that I'll be protected if there are these natural disasters, and right now it's pretty risky. So the other piece is the importance of soil productivity. A lot of the ways that we farm right now deplete nutrients from the soil, make it such that the soil isn't as good at holding water. So the healthier soil is, the better it is at holding water. The more we dig up natural grasslands, the more carbon we're releasing into the atmosphere. So it's a delicate balance of making sure that we are encouraging farmers to farm land that is meant to be farmed and to leave land that's meant to be grasslands and isn't really good for farming as grasslands. And then if land is being farmed, to do it in a way that really supports the health of the soil. And if we don't take care of the health of the soil, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the No Farms, No Food bumper stickers, or the bumper stickers that say, stop treating our soil like dirt. That really it's a living, important organism, and we need it. Without it, we could have huge food security threats. We'll be more reliant on importing food. We'll only be able to grow the foods that we have the chemical inputs in order to grow. And so maintaining that biological health of the soil is really important, not only for all of those sort of environmental health issues that I mentioned, but for our long-term food security. So what do we do about it? How do we support maintaining good agricultural practices? Not to be confused with the GAP certification, which is another technical agriculture term. But anyway, how do we make sure that our farmers are growing in a way that's really good for our health? So there are a bunch of programs in the Farm Bill. You saw that slice of the pie. It was the fourth largest slice for conservation programs when Linda was talking. And three I want to mention are the Conservation Reserve Program, the Conservation Stewardship Program, and the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The bottom two there are what we call working lands conservation programs. So they're designed for farmers that are actively working the land, whereas the Conservation Reserve Program is about farmers being compensated a little bit for not putting their land into production, which is a very important service that they're providing to the rest of us by letting that land go back to its natural state. Another reason I wanted to mention that program is there's a Conservation Reserve Transitions Program in the proposed and upcoming Farm Bill that would allow older farmers who have land in this Conservation Reserve Program to keep being compensated a little bit over some time if they then set it up so that a younger farmer is going to have access to that land and begin farming it in responsible ways. Thank you. So the Conservation Stewardship Program does things like you can see in this picture. It supports putting in what we call riparian buffers. So you see there's all this non-crop plant life around the water, and that helps filter the water as it's going toward the streams that then lead to the rivers and lead to the rest of us. And then EQIP does a lot of great things, like providing funding for high tunnels or hoop houses for growing, extending the growing season. There are a range of other conservation measures within it. One thing I want to mention about EQIP is a sort of contentious provision within it that can really impact communities living around confined animal feeding operations, which is the aerial view. You don't want to swim over there in that water. It's a manure lagoon. And what EQIP does is provide money for these farms to be able to better contain the manure. On the one hand, that's an important environmental benefit because we're better containing the manure. It's less likely to go out into the environment. On the other hand, one could say it's a backdoor support for continuing to support this industrial system. And so I just want to point out that nothing is ever cut and dry, especially in policy, and we should really think about the long-term systemic effects of what we're choosing to support with our dollars. Oops. So the last thing I want to mention really quickly in terms of Farm Bill programs is this idea of conservation compliance. And what that is there's a whole program. You saw the crop insurance section of the pie. That was the second biggest, maybe, and it's growing. And that's like a bunch of money that helps farmers buy insurance. It's like me saying, oh, yeah, we'll help you buy your homeowner's insurance, and you don't really have to have fire extinguishers or easy escape routes or anything like that if we don't have conservation compliance tied to these insurance programs. And so what we want to do is say, farmers, we'll help you buy your crop insurance because we know farming is really risky, but in doing so, we want you to do these basic conservation measures, and that'll help keep the rest of us safer and healthier. And there's a chance that it's going to make it into this Farm Bill, but we still need to really push for it and support it if it's going to happen. So the point is, we want our children to be able to come home looking like this and not have pesticides or nitrates or other chemicals or E. coli wrapped up in that dirt around the kid. So we want our communities to be safe and healthy. So, jumping to the Food and Environment Working Group. This is one of the ways that you all can get involved in these range of issues that we're going to be talking about today, as well as other food system related projects. So the Food and Environment Working Group was formed about in 2006 from people in the Food and Nutrition section and the Environment section of APHA who said, we need more of a systems perspective here. Like, these things are connected. We're not all siloed and we should be working together. So the working group does a range of activities, and one of those is encouraging APHA as an association to take a strong stance for food system change that will support health. So one of the first things we had to do was create this policy statement that gets it on the books that APHA cares about food system issues. Once we had that, then APHA can take legislative, regulatory, or other policy action. And one of the ways that APHA does that is APHA is really involved in the nutrition title of the Farm Bill. But because we had on the books that conservation was important, we were able to call up the APHA government relations staff and say, hey, look, in our statement, which is at the top, we mention conservation, we mention the Farm Bill. Can we also put that in our action alert that's going out to all APHA members about the Farm Bill? And so that's what that bottom piece is. We were able to add in some support from APHA for conservation programs. That's a little example. We're working on the Food Safety Modernization Act right now. Those are both federal level things, but what I'm really hoping is that as more and more APHA members get involved with the Food and Environment Working Group, that we can start to make more ties between community health and these national programs and everything in between, and that we can start to get your stories from the ground of what's being impacted and how you're being impacted and what needs to change so that we can influence APHA to become a really strong advocate for healthy, sustainable food systems. And I just put this up. This is our organization. We're at booth 301 if you want to learn more about what we do at the center. And I look forward to our discussions.